read them in a hurry. Read them on your knees if possible. And say, Lord, speak to me that I may see not only you, but see your provision for me and for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for the whole human race. Blessed be his holy name. Thanks for your patience tonight. Allow me just to give you maybe two more references and I'll dismiss you. You know, when the Passover lamb was roasted in Exodus 12, they were not to eat of it just soaked in water, but they were to eat it roasted in fire. Exodus 12, verse 9, I believe. But it doesn't say how the lamb was roasted. That's where we Gentiles need the Jews to help us. There's some things that they know that we don't know. Because unto them were given something. What? The oracles. You know what are the oracles of God? That's a very important word. The sure utterances of God. So how did they roast the lamb? This is how they roasted on two spits of wood in the shape of a cross. It's not given in Exodus 12, but that's the way they roasted it. The lamb was roasted with one piece of wood extending from the head down to the feet and the other across the shoulders. So the lamb was roasted in the form of a cross. Ephraim and Manasseh were blessed with a man who knew the work of the cross. And he was changed from Jacob to Israel. And Simon Peter was going to go that way. When you were young, Simon, you girded yourself, you went wherever you wanted. But when you grow old, someone else will gird you and take you where you don't want to go. And you will stretch out your hands. When you stretch out your hands, what are you showing? Surrender. Submission to the cross. Simon Peter, it's not what you want to do now. It will be the work of the cross, crossing your will out and your desire out, making room for the will of God. He was talking not only of his physical death, he was talking about his dying to himself. And that one to come and gird him was the Holy Spirit. And lead him where at times you and I don't want to go. But we have to choose whether it's your will or mine and his way or our way. That's why that song says, submission to the will of him who guides me still. Is surety of God's love revealed. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go. For who am I to choose my way? The Lord himself shall choose. 'Tis better far, I know. So let him bid me go or stay. I can't go unless he bids me go. And if not, I stay. There was a time Paul was on the go. There was another time he had to stay. And so it's only those who stretch out their hands in self-surrender that God can use and help. Now we're going to see how Jesus lived out what he taught, what he preached, and how these seven words of the cross can help us in our walk with God. May God bless you for coming tonight and receiving of his words. And we will trust him to share a few more thoughts pertaining to the closing words of our Lord. One last reference. It wasn't too long ago in history that we discovered the use of the X-ray machine. What does the X-ray machine do? It takes out pictures of the human body, right? So that disease can be spotted before it can be treated. Well, the cross is God's X-ray machine to show us the corruption that is inside of us. And it is only the blood of the cross that can deal with all that is wrong with us. Isn't that amazing? Yes, my friends. So, I close with this illustration. Kings and people in high positions of society, especially in Egypt, wore the best fabric available in that time, which was known as fine linen. And until today, some of the dead bodies wrapped in fine linen, the linen is still in good shape, 4,000 years old. Can you imagine that? Of course, wherever there's the real, there's also the counterfeit. And the priests of the Lord are not to wear woolen garments. What were they to wear? Fine linen. Well, how can you tell the difference between 100% refined linen and something that is artificial or mixed? Put the fabric under a microscope. And when you do, if it's 100% without mixture, there are tiny crosses from one end of the garment to the extremity of the garment. The whole fabric under a microscope is dotted with crosses. How about that? There's only one kind of righteousness God is after. What is the matter with our righteousness? What is it? But the righteousness of Christ imputed unto us comes from the work of the cross. And we have to put off the rags of our so-called good works. Isn't it interesting when the prodigal son came home? How did he return home? What happened to his clothes? They were tattered. He came home in rags. He left with riches. He came home with rags. And the father met him half of the distance. And he was going to make a confession. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He didn't get to say it. Go and read that again. He planned to pray that prayer. I'm not worthy to be called thy son. And the father kissed him and stopped him. Because you're not a hireling in the family of God. You can't pay your way to become a servant of God. Salvation is a gift. But how is it that the father put the best robe on him? How can you put the best robe on garments that are tattered? Why does Luke not mention, and he took a bath, and then he put it on? That's a good question. Why does he omit the negative? Because he's showing you the positive side of grace. Certainly, he had to go through a cleansing and a washing. But he doesn't put the emphasis on that. That's the negative side. He stresses the positive side of the grace of God. For the gospel of Luke is the gospel of the grace of God long before Brother Paul wrote about the grace of God. Luke was ahead of him. And when you read the gospel of Luke from beginning to end, look for the grace of God. It's there. When others forsook Paul and fled, who are your real friends? You know who are your real friends now when everything is well. It's in the time of need. There's one man who stood with him. And you know what Paul said? Only Luke is with me. And what does that mean? Was he just a friend? He was more than that. Only Luke is with me. He's teaching the same things I'm teaching. That's what he was saying. Not just, he's my friend. But he and I are on the same wavelength. And you can see the grace of God in the whole gospel of Luke. That's why Luke isn't giving you the negative side. He's giving you the positive side of the grace of God in that parable. Blessed be his holy name. I am appreciating more the grace and the peace of God than I've ever done in all my life. Those are two words that I came out of the surgery ringing in my heart: grace and peace. Grace and peace. And where do we see it? Right at the cross. At the cross, where I first saw the light. And we will never, ever exhaust grace and peace. Jesus is both grace and peace. And he's making us into a people who will manifest grace. Grace is 911 in the numerical value. Shalom, the Hebrew word. Irene, the Greek word. And those are two powerful words. And the Gospel of Luke shows us the grace of God. So I close with this thought. All the gospel writers mentioned the thieves. Yes, only one gospel writer speaks of the conversion of one of the two thieves. Why is that? Why didn't they all say the same thing? Because holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Spirit. Why is it that Luke alone mentions the conversion of the dying thief? Who can guess? Because the gospel of Luke is the gospel of the grace of God, even to the least deserving. Now stop and think, did we deserve anything for Jesus to show his grace? And here's a man who lived the bulk of his life in sin. And at the last moment, he's going to be changed. Let us not think that will happen to everybody. So let's not presume. On the other hand, let's not limit the grace of God when we pray for people. God bless you. Let's rejoice in the Christ of the cross, who has the marks of the cross upon himself. I wonder what kind of marks we have. We as Christians have been sheltered in this land. Who knows what is awaiting us in the coming day? And our children, and our grandchildren. Right now, Christians are not loved and appreciated in our society. Jesus Christ has no place in our universities. That's why we had what happened there recently. Isn't it strange? After a tragedy, then we all get religious, and then we all seek prayer. But when everything is going fine, who needs Jesus and who needs the Bible? So if we don't wake up, we will see more of this violence in our land. Let's say, Lord, let the spirit of the cross govern me as I stretch my hands out unto thee. Let me follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That means we'll take on the nature and the character of the Lamb. God bless you for coming tonight. And see if you can find the seven last words of the cross. And let's see what God will show us in these seven leaves of healing from the tree of life, like the seven colors of the rainbow. Send forth thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me and guide me into thy holy hill. That was the prayer of the psalmist. Let's meet with Jesus Christ afresh in these few days. And may he put a burning love in our hearts for him and a greater determination to do as the songwriter says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. If no one joined me, still I will follow. No turning back. And as my friend from Trinidad says, and what he feeds me, I will swallow. May God truly make us more like our Master as we embrace him and the way of the cross. I don't know if you sing the song here, but if not, I hope you'll learn it. The way of the cross leads home. Do you sing that here? It is sweet to know as I onward go, the way of the cross leads home. I would like you all to do that for me. Let us sing that song afresh. Father, we praise you for this time of fellowship with you, with the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. On this third day of May 2007, day 123, the day the Lord has made. Lord, how can we cease praising you for your providence, for your goodness, and for your many mercies? Oh, Lord, we can't thank you enough for loving us and for sending the Lamb of God to become our substitute on Calvary's cross. May you let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart to be acceptable in your sight, and remove any hardness from our hearts. Remove, oh God, any indifference from our hearts, and give us tender, broken, yielded, contrite hearts, yes, that we will truly be melted with the love of Calvary, and that we will indeed be an exhibition of your grace to needy mankind. Oh Lord, touch us all afresh. Bless this group of saints for all they have done to encourage me and help me. And I pray that you will continue to meet with each one of us. You see the needs. You see, O God, all that we have need of, and you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. We lift up each one to you, and we pray strength from the throne of grace to be imparted to each one of us. Those who need a special healing, touch them with your resurrection power. Those, oh God, going through a rough place in their walk with God, oh, come, oh Lord, and smoothen the journey for them. Let them know you are there, and you will never leave them, and you'll never forsake them. Oh Lord, give us the grace to keep pressing on the upward way, looking unto our Lord, the author and the finisher of our faith. And thank you, Lord, that you will meet with us in the remaining meetings, and you will bless this group of saints, that they will shine in this community, and that many will come to know you in this area. And we will continue to remind you, we are expecting the rain to come and bless this area, Lord, and that fire raging in Georgia will be quenched. And Lord, in the midst of judgment, you will be merciful. And as we bombard the throne of grace with persistence and by standing on your promises, stretch forth your hand and send a rain. And thou, O Lord, didst send a plentiful rain whereby thou didst refresh thine inheritance. We stand on that promise, not just a trickle, but we pray for a godly washer of a rain. Hallelujah. And send the rain literally, and send the rain spiritually. Revive us again, Lord. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, and the glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. We are expecting divine intervention and an end to this plague, O God. And as we stand in agreement, we stand on the promise, if two of you shall agree on earth as to anything touching my Father, it shall be done unto them. And we're more than two, and we stand in faith, believing for your mercies and believing for you to send a rain. Do it for your glory. And let us go away from here refreshed and renewed, revived, singing your praises. And we bless you for victory in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Amen.